today as we come to the table.
Now here's what's going to happen. I mean, I'd be everybody inside. I'd be herding the animals in. We'd be going underground if possible. Say, God said it. God's going to do it. Let's believe him. And it's just amazing to me the people that still ignored the Lord and the consequences. And because they ignored the Lord and the consequences, they died. And you know what? People still do that today. God's word has proven to be true for thousands of years. There's never been an error found in it. I know that's common. Oh, the Bible's full of contradictions. Or there's never been one documented or proven ever in world history. Did y'all know that? If you don't know that, you need to understand that there is not one proven and documented scholarly error found in the Bible.
If you heard something horrible was about to happen, and you had evidence to support the claim, wouldn't you prepare for it? Most people would, and if you trust the source of the information, there's even more reason to heed the warning. The Bible contains a lot of such information, warnings about things to come in the future, and the evidence to back it up. It also shows a rich history of God being right. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. If the Bible is so trustworthy, why don't more people live by its guidance? Pastor Mark today will encourage you to be one who does heed the word and who prepares for what's to come. You can and should trust God. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 9 as he continues his message, the plague of hail.
For at this time, verse 14, I will send all my plagues to your very heart. What does he mean to the very heart? People are going to die now, Pharaoh. The plagues before just caused a lot of discomfort. Flies everywhere, boils, you know, sores, whatever. People are going to die now, Pharaoh. And they're going to die because the nation has been warned but is refusing to repent. Now, this is where I can hear people say, well, what kind of God would actually begin to let people die as he's turning up the heat on a nation? A God that loves a nation. Now, what do I mean by that? Is it better to let a nation die and be eternally separated from God in the lake of fire? Or is it better to let tragedies, horrible tragedies sometimes, come into a nation's life so that the people in mass turn back to God and are saved and in heaven? You have to look at it. Which is better? See, we think of the temporary. People shouldn't suffer. Don't want anyone to hurt. God thinks of the eternal. And God's viewpoint is this. If I've got to make them suffer and hurt so I can have them forever, so be it. But if I give them a nice cushy life where they never have any pain and they go to hell, I've lost them forever. So we have to understand God's mindset. God thinks of things differently than we do. We think of, you know, the temporal. He thinks of the eternal. And God says, this time it's going to the very heart, he says here. He says, and on your servants and on your people that you may notice this. Know that there is none. I have no and none underlined. You may know there's none like me in all the earth. Pharaoh, you're finally going to understand it. This is me. I'm doing this. And you know what? The flies didn't work. The boils didn't work. The lice, all these things didn't work. But now when your people begin to die, I hope I get your attention. And he's going to be rained so hard that finally God has to end up taking the firstborn as an act of mercy to the nation that they might repent. And we're going to see that many of them did repent. And actually, as we said, follow the Israelis out of Israel. And so God always begins dealing gently with his word. And then God begins to bring in consequences. And if that doesn't work, God will begin to turn up the heat little by little. Now the Egyptians have put the Lord off so blatantly and for so long, he has no choice but to turn up the heat to the point where, as I said, some are actually going to be dying here, that they may know that he alone is God. And Pharaoh's going to realize there is only one true and living God. But this is what, look at this, verse 15. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. In other words, God's saying, I could have just wiped you out and killed all of you. If I'd struck you with pestilence and just killed you, I could have done that, right? But notice this verse and what a huge verse this is. I have the entire verse underlined in chapter 9. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up. God raising up this unbeliever and putting him in position. That I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Does God sometimes raise up unbelievers and put them in powerful positions to show his glory? Yes. He says right here he did it. And he did it again with Nebuchadnezzar. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, he was an unbeliever. He said, I've raised you up and put you in that position that I might show myself great. And now he tells Pharaoh, I've raised you up and I've made you the Pharaoh over all Egypt that I might show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Now again, not the power of honoring Pharaoh, but because of Pharaoh's hardness of heart in judgment of Pharaoh. And God says, I could have just killed you, but I've raised you up that I may show that power and that the world may see my glory. And notice the result here of this. He says that his name will be declared in all the earth. God's going to do this so much so that his name will be declared in all the earth. Question, was God's name declared in all the earth because of what happened in Egypt and the 10 plagues? Yes, because in that day, even when they went in the promised land in Jericho, remember the harlot there in Jericho, she said, we've heard about you and we heard what your God did down in Egypt. So around the world, they knew then. And is it still known today? The 10 plagues of Egypt is one of the most famous things in all the world. People know it. Those who know the word or those who know of the Bible and have TV, I mean, even just the movies that are on. And so he says, the result will be my name will be declared in all the earth. And God's name is being declared in all the earth. And it's been happening ever since. Notice this, he says, I've raised you up for this very purpose, that I might bring my judgments in and show that I'm greater. Amazing. And this causes all kinds of struggles for people and theological discussions and theological issues. Paul brings it up in the New Testament. Paul brings up the whole thing of raising up Pharaoh for the purpose of bringing judgment on Egypt and the judgment of the gods of Egypt and all that God did in that. Again, people have a tough time with it. Is it fair if God raised Pharaoh up? Is it fair that Pharaoh was condemned? How could he do that? He couldn't resist God. No, Paul didn't say he couldn't resist God. God didn't say he couldn't resist him. God said, I've raised you up. Pharaoh could have said no at any time. Pharaoh could have repented. He could have given his life to the Lord, but he didn't. And so the question Paul brings up is was it fair what God did? Was it right what God did? And Paul says, absolutely. God raised him up. He still had a choice. He could have obeyed and averted the catastrophe, but God knew that he wouldn't. God knew what his choice would be. And because God knew that, he raised him up and used him as an example in all the world. Think about that. And then Paul went on to say, and this is interesting here because Paul kind of, you know, I love it. You know, there oftentimes people want to try to talk to God about what's fair and not fair. You know, we have no right to talk to God about what's fair and what's not fair. It's none of our business. That just rubs some people the wrong way, doesn't it? That's not right. I do have a say in it. No, you don't. You have no say in it, nor do you have a right to have a say in it. Neither do I. And Paul says that. Paul says, well, some people will say that's unfair. How can God do that? Paul said, God can do what he wants. He's the creator of all the universe. He said, you have no right. He says, can the clay say to the potter, why did you make me this way? You can't do that. And so that goes against the American mindset because we want our say. And the big buzzword today is what? Fairness. God is fair. God is just, but we have no say in that. I'm glad that he is, aren't you? I'm glad that he's holy and righteous, but it's none of our business. We have no say in that. And Paul said that. He said, you have no right to even question God in that. Even if God did something that you thought was wrong, is it still fair? Yeah. Even if you don't think it's fair. Why? Because he's God. He can do what he wants. He made the rules. He created the universe. He created the earth, the heavens. He created all us. He can do what he wants. He can just choose to do whatever, and it's fair because he's God. And so Paul really is kind of chastising the reader there saying, you know what? Who are you guys to question God? Who do you think you are questioning God? You have no right to do that. He says, I've raised you up. I've done this so that I can show my power in you. He says, as yet you exalt yourself against my people in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. I mean, it's going to be a year before you can even get your chariot in the shop. Or get your new roof done, you know, get all the straw put up there. It's going to be a year before they're going to get around to do that because there's going to be so much damage. I mean, it's going to be huge. And notice he says it'll be very heavy, the worst they've ever seen. You know, the word they're very heavy. I mean, it means extremely. I mean, it talks intense. It comes with a meaning of intensity. He says, therefore, send now and gather. Now, look at this. God tells them what's going to happen. And still in God's mercy, he gives them a warning. God says, if you don't obey me, people will die. It's not that God just went and did it without warning them. He said, if you don't obey me, people are going to die. So listen to me. But because there were people that were so stubborn and listening to the word of God, people died. Isn't that amazing? We have the same thing today. People that refuse to listen to the word of God. And because of that, there's oftentimes death because the Bible warns us about things that are, you know, that we should do and not do and that we'll die from or whatever. And so there's all kinds of application here, but he says, therefore, sin now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought in the home, and they shall die. It's not that God wanted them to die. Let's understand that. Is everybody with me? God said, it's not that God wanted them to die. The point is, I'm bringing this judgment. And if you don't believe my word and obey it, men will die. Women will die. Your animals will die. But those of you who believe me, you're going to be fine. And that's good news right there. Because again, there's an application for us. People today who don't believe the word of God, they're going to die. It may not be physically. Well, we'll all die physically at some point, right? But it doesn't mean we'll die like right now physically. What it means is we're all going to die not only physically, but spiritually as well. Because there is a judgment one day. But if we heed the word of God, then we're going to live. So God in his mercy and grace warns Pharaoh and the people in Egypt in advance that destruction is coming. And if they don't listen and get their flocks and people inside, there'll be massive death among both. Now, the amazing thing to me is that after all they've seen, you would think after all they've seen and all that Moses has done, everybody in Egypt would believe him, wouldn't you? Don't miracles lead people to God? If people see miracles, they'll believe, right? Wrong. Six plagues went before this that were all obviously and undeniably miraculous. And now he gives a seventh one. Okay, everything I've said so far has happened, God would say. Now here's what's going to happen. I mean, I'd be everybody inside. I'd be herding the animals in. We'd be going underground if possible. Say, God said it. God's going to do it. Let's believe him. And it's amazing to me the people that still ignored the Lord and the consequences. And because they ignored the Lord and the consequences, they died. And you know what? People still do that today. God's word has proven to be true for thousands of years. There's never been an error found in it. I know that's common. Oh, the Bible's full of contradictions. Or there's never been one documented or proven ever in world history. Did y'all know that? If you don't know that, you need to understand that there is not one proven and documented scholarly error found in the Bible. I've looked everywhere. And all the people that say, oh, yes, there are. No, there's not. They just don't know the Bible. And when you get to the scholars that explain it, it explains itself. You see very clearly. There's no error there. There's no contradiction. It's very clear. People still today, they don't believe the word of God. God continues to warn of the judgment to come. And people simply ignore it. And they don't seek shelter from it. They don't seek shelter from what God says is going to happen if we don't come to him. But what is the shelter that we have? Guys, it's the Lord. The Lord is our shelter. And we who know Christ, we run under that shelter. We run to the Lord and we have that shelter. And yet they were willing to simply stand out in the field. I heard one pastor say today, as I was listening to a commentary, he said, you know, there are those who are, they don't want to hear the word of God because they're outstanding in their field. And they depend on that. And then when the judgment comes, what happens? It doesn't matter how outstanding in your field you are, you die. You stand before God. And you're going to be judged. Doesn't matter your gifts and talents. Think about it. You're the best basketball player in the world, the best football player in the world. You won the Super Bowl. You know, you whatever it is, you're the best at this and that. We all die. Every one of us die. And nothing's going to matter except the day we stand before him and what we've done with Jesus Christ. That's it, guys. Nothing else matters. I'm not saying we don't do the best we can while we're here, but nothing else matters. We have to take the appropriate action to make sure that we're sheltered. And Jesus Christ is our shelter. They didn't listen to it. But I love this. Look at this, verse 20. Some did. Because it says, he who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, they made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. Now, the guys that were there watching all this with Pharaoh, they went home and said, get the kids in, you know, get the animals. And some of them were like, I've watched this. I believe it. Good for them. They believed the word of God. Some did, some didn't. And there'll always be some who do and some who don't. But because notice this, look at verse 21. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Amazing to me. What a contrast. Some who did fear God's word and took appropriate cover, but many who did not fear God's word and didn't take appropriate cover. Well, I'll just wait until I get there and I'll find out if it's going to be okay. I was listening to some, I don't know who it was, some man who's one of these millionaire, billionaire types or whatever. And he gives a whole lot to charity. And good for him. That's wonderful. But he was talking about, well, you know, he was an unbeliever, quite obviously, because he said, well, I believe there probably is a heaven. Now, if he's a believer, he would have said, I believe in heaven. He said, I believe there probably is a heaven, and me giving all this money is going to help me get in one day. And I thought, how sad. How sad. Because he can go to his grave thinking of all the billions he donated to the needs of the world. And good for him. That's not a bad thing to do. That's a good thing to do. But to find out when he gets there, God says, what money? What money? Money, it means nothing to me. Look down.
What?
What you're standing on. Yeah, it's gold. It's what we paved with up here. And you thought you were going to impress me by how much you gave? I gave you my son. You were supposed to choose him and repent of your sin. That's your only hope. Depart from me, I never knew you. And the Bible says that many will say, Lord, Lord, did I not? He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And the Bible says they'll go into everlasting judgment. How horrible that is. And so you got the whole group that, you know, fears God's word and doesn't fear God's word. We have them today. The word regarded, it's interesting. It says those who regarded the word of God or regarded what Moses had said, the word means to put something into place. It really comes with the idea of putting it where it needs to be, giving it a proper importance. In essence, what it's saying is those who put God's word in the place that it was supposed to be and said, you know what, we need to take this serious. It's not a game. We're not playing religion. We're going to take what God said in his word serious. He says those people are the ones who obeyed, and they were protected, their families and their kids and their animals. But those who didn't put God's word in the place that it was supposed to be, they were judged. And the same thing is true today, and the same thing is going to happen when it comes to those who stand before the Lord on that day if they don't receive him. Now it begins. Look at verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven that there may be hail in the land of Egypt on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. So let it begin. And it's not just going to be people that are wiped out. Notice this. It's also going to be all their crops, which again would affect them financially. The disaster would cost the country a lot of money in their budget. It would hurt them in their food supply. All these things. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. That is, a lightning is referred to as fire in Scripture. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt, so that there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail. So lightning and hail just everywhere. So very heavy. Now, it doesn't give us the size. But when I look at the two comparisons of Revelation and what's going on in Egypt and the plagues, I wonder if it wasn't that whole talent size, 60 to 100 pounds, like it talks about to be in the last days. I don't know. But very heavy, whatever it was, heavy enough to kill people who were outside. Everybody outside was killed. Everybody. If you weren't in cover, you were killed in Egypt. Very heavy, that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Again, people no doubt scared to death. And I just think about this. You know, it was kind of scary that night when the hailstorm hit here, wasn't it? It's kind of scary. It's like, what? Kind of freaky, man. It's like loud and the wind's whipping and everything's, you know, I remember driving down the interstate that night. I had to go around to, the road was blocked off because trees had fallen down here. And I don't know, I was giving somebody a ride home or something. I don't remember exactly what was going on, but I had to go all the way to Pellissippi and go out. And there was like all these like just green, I don't know how to describe it other than all the leaves had been chopped up in little pieces. You guys probably saw that if you were out that night. And it hit this guy. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. All these leaves were crushed almost into mulch. It was like leaf mulch all over the road. Some of you guys saw that. Like you're driving in snow or slush. I'm like, this is wild. So I'm driving down Pellissippi, looking at the sky, and everything looked scary, not knowing that tornadoes were whipping. I was oblivious. I didn't know there was really danger around us. Found out the next day. But again, I just think of that little storm. And I say little because compared to this, it was nothing. You know, had it been the hail the size of what they're talking about, it would have crushed me in the car. So, amazing here. Human death toll, financial toll, everything. And it says, and the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all those in the field, both man and beast. The hail struck every herb of the field. There it is again. And broke every tree of the field. So branches broken off, the crops destroyed. Notice this, only in the land of Goshen. Who is in the land of Goshen? God's kids. Again, this whole picture of God making a clear distinction between those of the world and those that are his. God says, I'll protect those that are mine. Remember, we're not under the judgment of God. When God sends judgment, God makes a difference between his kids and the world. It doesn't mean we don't die from things that happen in the world. I'm not saying that. But when God sends his judgment, God makes a difference. And so he says, though only in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were, there was no hail at all. Can you imagine Pharaoh, you know, finding it out that didn't have anything over there? And again, seeing this clear, distinct difference here. Man, this guy didn't get it. And he's going to pretend to. Notice verse 27. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I've sinned this time. What? What do you mean this time? What about the six times or seven times before? Really seven already, because the first time wasn't a plague. It was just the whole serpent thing. Remember? And then the plague started. So seven times before, he's already denied and get out of my face. I'm not going to do what God says and this kind of thing. He said, no, this time I've really sinned. No, it doesn't go by your scale. You know, it goes by God's scale. God is perfect. We go by the word of God. God is our standard, not what we think. You know, we all have a standard of what we think. You know, well, I'm not as bad as that guy. How many of you ever heard that or said it maybe? I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as that guy. The Bible says that those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Why? Because God's standard is perfection. And if I get around a whole bunch of people that are really bad all the time, I'm probably going to think I'm doing okay with God. Yeah, look at these guys. I'm not killing anybody. I'm not raping people. Those guys are. I'm doing all right. And God says, you still can't get in. Why? Because you're not perfect. Well, nobody can be perfect. That's why I gave my son. Now you've got to believe in him and let his perfection be upon you so you can enter the kingdom of God. And so that whole standard thing here, now he finally reaches his own standard. You know, even in the prisons, they have a standard. Have you ever done prison ministry, been around prison ministry? They have a standard in prison about the guys at different levels of sin, what's right and what's wrong and, you know, whatever. And, you know, and they have their own morality system in prison. It's amazing. Here these guys are in prison for all these things they've done, and then you have the good guys and the bad guys. Isn't that amazing? Everybody has their own standard. It depends on where that standard is. And so he says, this time, that even Pharaoh, he says, all right, I admit this time. You know, I've sinned. The Lord is righteous. And I and my people, we're wicked, he says here, you know. Again, we see Pharaoh now making another false confession. Not just a false confession, but note this, another false confession and false repentance, because he said this before, okay, I'll let them go. I've done wrong and you guys can go. And then when things get better, what does he do? He goes right back to saying, oop, just kidding. He's going to do the same thing here. You know, he makes this false confession, this false repentance. Moses is going to see right through it. But I've met people like this over the years. I mean, when things are tough in their life, they say they've repented and they even make confessions. Well, I need to confess. And I've not been living for God like I should. And now I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And they have all the, almost like New Year's resolutions. And then when their life gets better, the bills start getting paid and the pain's not quite as much. It's like they go right back to how they were before. You ever seen people like that? And as a pastor, I've seen it a lot. But deep in their heart, it's all fake. It means nothing. That's why, you know, tears don't impress me. You know, as a young pastor, tears impressed me. You know, somebody cried, like, oh man, they mean it. They're broken. And then I had one too many tears shed where it was a flat out lie and was proven like just the next day. And I realized, you know what? There's a lot of actors out there. And tears really don't mean anything. You know what means something? Action. Words pretty much don't mean anything, because anybody can say anything. If they're good at faking it, they can say what they want. Here's what God wants to see. He wants to see action. What does it say in James? If you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, it does you no good. You got to be a hearer and a doer of the word of God, or it's worthless. And so Pharaoh was one of these hearers and sayers, but he wasn't doing anything. As soon as the trouble passes, we're going to see that Pharaoh's right back where he was. So notice what he says. All right, I'm ready to do this thing. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I've had it. This is really it. I'm at my end. I'm done here. I will let you go and you shall stay no longer. So he claims again, I've had it. I believe this time I'm going to let you go. You guys can really leave. We're going to see in just a minute. Again, he's lying. He's not going to let him go. He's not done. But you talk about, you know, basically he wanted to get out of the consequences, right? But there's no real change whatsoever. Get the consequences off of me, but there's no change in the life. But what's amazing to me here, you want to understand how bad this thunder was, the hail and the thunder that was going on here, really the thundering and the hail, he says here, he calls it mighty.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's word has come to an end. Maybe you've heard these things mentioned in the book of Exodus before, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. Exodus is one of those books where it's undeniable, observing God's power and might in what he does through his people and for his people. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Exodus next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series, plus much more, at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. Before we close, we want you to know that if you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark in the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community. And through this radio outreach, there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Exodus, so be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.